This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Quentin Kidd is a professor of government and politics at Christopher Newport University. He's chair of the department and watching closely the recent elections and the transition and what the General Assembly's shaping up to look like. He joins us on the long line. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Coy. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. So what's the latest?
Well, the latest is it doesn't look good. You know, the budget forecasts that we keep hearing about over the last few days are in the several billions of dollars. You know, so when the General Assembly starts in January and the new governor's inaugurated and the Republicans have this strong advantage in the House and a new Republican governor in the governor's mansion, it's just going to be bad news. I mean, it's just going to be cutting, and I don't know why anyone would want to hold office in all of this, to be honest with you.
Well, we had, we're talking with Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University. Quentin, yesterday we had two guys, Rodney Thomas and Dwayne Snow. They just won election to the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and they were telling me that they met recently with some of the legislators in Richmond, and that they were told it's only going to get worse. We have nothing for you. I mean, don't expect any new money, and as a matter of fact, expect huge cuts coming from Richmond to local government.
I mean, we've cut in this biennium, we've cut nearly $7 billion, or maybe in the last two bienniums, nearly $7 billion. And we're looking at, in the next biennium, in the next couple of years, another $2.3 billion or so cuts. I mean, at some point, you're going beyond fat, beyond muscle, into bone, and it just doesn't look good. I I'm sort of joking about why would anyone want to be there. I mean, I guess it's times like these when you really do need people who are there for the right reasons, who are there trying to do the right thing, because I think it's much harder to decide where to cut and how to cut than it is to argue about what program you should fund and what special project you should advocate for. So I think you really want really level-headed people there when these kind of cuts are coming down, because it's going to hit K-12 education, it's going to hit public health, it's going to hit everything.
Yeah, going to hit them huge. Yeah.
It's going to hit them huge, yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of having the right people in there, I mean, of all times when you need some serious bipartisanship and a lack of partisan bickering, I mean, this is it. These people are going to have to play together to figure out where these cuts are going to go, because you're right, the debate won't be what new programs do we fund. The debate is going to be what bones do we cut into, speaking of cutting through fat into bone.
And I think the governor-elect, Governor-elect McDonald, has done a really good job. He set a tone, I think, in the couple of weeks since the election, of saying, I'm going to really try to act bipartisanly and I'm going to try to do things in a bipartisan way. I mean, he met with the Democratic leadership in the House, and I think that kind of stuff is going to really be important. And, you know, if you remember when Governor Warner was elected, he really made some public overtures to Republicans. And I'll be interested. He did this at his inauguration. I'll be interested to see if McDonald does the same thing, because the times were kind of similar. When Governor Warner was elected, he came into office and had to cut budgets, and the same thing is going to happen with Bob McDonald. So, and I think Warner's strategy of being bipartisan in how he did that worked. I think most people think it was a good job, and it was a good thing to do, and I think McDonald has really watched that and learned some lessons from that. So I would expect the same kind of behavior from him.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University. Quentin, what's the latest on how the General Assembly is shaping up and what that looks like? Because I know there's some special elections.
Yeah, well, the House seems to be pretty set. It seems to be a 62-vote margin for Republicans now, 60 Republicans and then two independents to caucus with Republicans. The question on the Senate side is, where are these two seats that were held by Republicans going to go? Ken Cuccinelli's seat in Fairfax County, there's going to be a special election for that. And then Senator Chris Stolle's seat in Virginia Beach, he ran for Virginia Beach sheriff, and so that seat is open. My sense is that Republicans are going to hold the Virginia Beach Senate seat, but they might lose the Fairfax County seat, they might lose Ken Cuccinelli's seat. So we might come out of this special election season, and the special elections will have to be held sometime in the next month, with the Democrats having a 22-18 vote margin in the Senate, which means that anything that happens in the General Assembly next session is going to have to be a compromise between a Republican-controlled House and a Democratically-controlled Senate. So I think the incentive there is probably, when it comes to Governor-elect McDonnell, the incentive is even stronger to act bipartisanly because he doesn't have control of the Senate and he's probably not going to have control of the Senate.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University. And, of course, control over the General Assembly is really going to steer redistricting in 2010. Next year, they map out all new districts and tweak them, and that's become quite a scientific pursuit. I've seen demonstrations by people who can draw maps down to the House and make any district you want.
Yeah, I mean, the big prize for this election in this last election cycle was being able to control redistricting. And even though Republicans are going to have the House and the governor's mansion, they're still going to have to deal with Democrats who have the Senate. And so it's going to be a partisan redistricting plan because politicians are going to be involved. Unless the General Assembly agrees to a bipartisan redistricting bill, which there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to do that in this coming session. If they don't agree to that, then it's going to be a partisan affair no matter what. And I think what happens when you've got Democrats controlling one house, Republicans controlling the other, is that everyone's seat is essentially held safe, or as many seats as possible, as opposed to, say, one party controlling it all where the one party gets takes it out on the other party. I think in this situation we might just see a lot of the same. And I don't think it's probably not healthy. District lines probably shouldn't be drawn with the idea that they're going to protect the person who's in the seat right then.
Right.
And that's the motivation behind bipartisan redistricting reform, is to get rid of that incentive.
Quentin, what was all this I was reading somewhere about efforts to take the Senate to...
Yeah, there were a lot of discussions about whether McDonnell could pick off a Democratic senator who was representing a district that might go Republican, all things being equal. And there was talk about John Miller, for example, the freshman senator. There was some talk about Ralph Northam, the freshman senator who represents the Eastern Shore, because both of those districts are, you know, very moderate. In a good year, they would go Republican, and in a special election, they might go Republican. But, you know, in the end, I don't think anything like that's going to happen. I think what happens is that a lot of partisans, and in this context, Republicans, talked about how much they would like for that to happen. And, you know, after a while, you start hearing that chatter and you think, oh, maybe there's something in the works. But everything I've heard from the Democratic side, and Governor Kaine mentioned this the other day, none of the Democratic senators are willing to move, are willing to take a position in the administration. So I imagine that won't happen. And then in the end, if the Democrats win Ken Cuccinelli's seat in Fairfax County, it's even more difficult, because then the governor would have to take two seats out. So he'd have to take two Democrats into his administration, and then Republicans would have to win both of those seats in a special election cycle, and it would just be really difficult to pull off, I think.
Yeah. Governor Kaine did the same thing when he appointed Preston Bryant, Secretary of Natural Resources, delegate from the Lynchburg area. They had a special there. Shannon Valentine, a Democrat, took the seat, and she just lost that seat to Scott Garrett from Lynchburg City Council.
Yeah, and you know, that's the power. Her losing that seat is actually the power of the college vote, and this is the first election cycle in Virginia where the Virginia Board of Elections essentially ruled on a long simmering dispute that college communities had with college students, which was where did the students have to vote? Did they have to vote in their homes, or could they vote where they lived when they went to school? And the Virginia Board of Elections said, you know, you got to let them vote where they are most of the time, which is school. And Liberty University students came out en masse. And
they canceled classes. They canceled classes so they could vote.
And they canceled classes, used some university buses, and are responsible for that election turning out like it turned out. So, and, you know, that opens up an entirely new realm of politics in Virginia, because you might see places like Charlottesville, Blacksburg, Williamsburg, places where there are small university towns being controlled to a large extent by the university students, which would really change the political character of those towns.
Yeah, and it's going to be huge in Williamsburg because they've been fighting that for quite some time.
Well, yeah, that's the source of the fight. I mean, that's where the fight has really taken place for the most part. And you know, it's an interesting. Well, you know, you went to school there,
right?
It's a bunch of old people and a bunch of young people.
Yep, yep.
And there's not much in the middle.
No, there's not. That's Williamsburg.
That's Williamsburg.
Quentin Kidd is chair of the Department of Government at Christopher Newport University, political scientist and expert on Southern politics and politics here in Virginia. Quentin, thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
Take care, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.